The title of my talk is Nurture and Discipline, but I'll just level with you. This is a talk about why you should spank your children. Okay. In all seriousness, though, this talk is about nurturing your children, particularly through discipline. How does discipline serve nurture? I want to help primarily younger parents understand how spanking your children honors God and cultivates and serves the spiritual and emotional health of your children and tends toward their flourishing. For the purposes of this talk, I'm defining spanking in this way. The measured administration of mild corporal pain in response to a child's misbehavior as an act of nurture and discipline. I'll give you that highly technical definition of a very simple thing. Again, spanking is the measured administration of mild corporal pain in response to a child's misbehavior as an act of nurture and discipline. If you need a visual, I'm talking about this. Okay? That's spanking in response to a child's misbehavior. Now, one thing I want to make sure you notice about my definition is that it expressly precludes the idea of physical abuse. Because I'm not talking about whipping your kids with a belt. I'm not talking about smacking them across the face. I'm talking about spanking, which is the measured administration of mild corporal pain to a child in response to his or her misbehavior as an act of nurture and discipline. I particularly have in mind spanking for small children. I'm not thinking of 13-year-olds. There are probably other forms of discipline that are more suitable for kids at that stage of life. I'm thinking primarily of 2-year-olds, 4-year-olds, maybe of 6-year-olds. So here's what I want to do. I want to give you 3 reasons for why spanking is good and right. And then I want to identify 4 reasons why I suspect parents don't spank their kids and maybe interrogate those reasons a little bit this morning, okay? Okay, first of all, spanking is biblical. And that should be, for a room full of Christian people, all I have to say. Okay, I'm going to say more than that, but let's start there. Spanking is biblical. And Ben made a great point at the start of his talk. The Bible's our ultimate authority. Let all your thoughts about your parenting be informed by the Bible. And if our thoughts about parenting are informed by the Bible, well, then we will spank our kids in nurture and in love because spanking is biblical. Simply put, God reveals in his word that spanking is a good and appropriate form of discipline for children. So maybe you've heard the expression, spare the rod, spoil the child. That's not actually in the Bible, but the idea very much is. Okay, so I'm just giving you a few verses from the Proverbs. Proverbs 13, verse 24, whoever spares the rod hates his son. Whoever spares the rod hates his son. But he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. You may think that by not inflicting mild corporal pain on your children in response to their misbehavior is because you love them so much. You don't want to actually inflict pain on them. But God says that he who spares the rod actually hates his child. That's a function of hatred toward our children, to spare the rod of correction. Proverbs 22:15, folly is bound up in the heart of a child. I doubt the truth. I got 3 fools at home. But the rod of discipline drives it far from him. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. Proverbs 23:13-14. Do not withhold discipline from a child. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. If you strike him with the rod, you will save his soul from Sheol. Sheol in the Old Testament was the realm of death, like Hades, kind of. Later picked up in the idea of hell, which is a larger revelation of the New Testament. You will save his soul from Sheol by striking him with the rod of correction. Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. These passages, brothers and sisters, are not ambiguous. They make the very simple point that the rod of correction and discipline serves the good of children. It is God's revealed will that parents utilize the rod in the discipline and nurture of their children. So parents, you should not be having the conversation about whether or not you should be spanking your children. That is not a Christian conversation. If our minds are conditioned by the Bible, we'll understand, no, it is our basic responsibility to spank our children, especially in the younger years, and to utilize the rod of correction. The conversation you need to be having is, how will we do this well? How will we properly apply the principles that we're given in God's word? How will we spank our children in a way that is wise and helpful for them? But it's not an optional thing, is what I mean to convey. It's not for us to determine we're going to jettison God's word and instead pursue some modern therapeutic kind of approach to discipline that we got off of Instagram or from somebody's blog. Friends, God's word is always right. It's always good. If given the choice between the Proverbs of God and whatever some celebrity thinks or some parenting guru online, I'm going to go with the word of God because I'm a Christian. And I trust the Lord and the word of the Lord as always right. So parents, I begin with this. You will honor God if you obey these passages. You ignore them at your own risk and at the risk of your own children. Let's just settle it now. The Lord's word is always right, and we will trust his will. And if this is what he calls us to in the realm of nurture and discipline for our kids, let's give ourselves to it and seek to apply his word wisely. Spanking is biblical. Second reason why spanking is good and right. Spanking is good for children. I mean, surprise, surprise, the Lord in the Proverbs tells us it is. But spanking is good for children. Now, I'm not a child psychiatrist or therapist. I'm not a pediatrician. I'm not an early ed teacher. So you may think, why should I listen to Alex's opinions about what's good for children? Fair enough. But I do have some credentials that shouldn't be swept aside so quickly. First, I'm a student of the Bible, and I've endeavored to search these things out in the scriptures, so hopefully I speak out of a biblical framework. Second, I have three kids, and I spank them. I have some, let's just say, significant experience as a practitioner of spanking. Third, I've heard lots of teaching on spanking over the course of my life, and I've observed dozens and dozens of wise and godly parents who have done it well. In all the churches I've been a member of, it was standard practice for parents to spank the children. And I've observed the good effects of spanking in the lives of literally hundreds of people. But maybe the reason I'm most qualified to speak on this topic is the fact that I was spanked hundreds of times as a kid. So the inner psychology of a child's response to corporal discipline is something I could probably have a second PhD in. My parents spanked me well, and I can testify to its good effects from experience. So spanking is good for children for a number of reasons. I'm just going to list six. Number one, because God tells us it's good for them, and God is always right. Number two, it supplies very young children, with a basic moral framework that helps them navigate life successfully. It helps them to understand the concept of sin and consequences in a way that's hard for small children to understand if you try to just talk to them about biblical ethics. But spanking is a way, especially accommodated to small children, that helps them understand ethics and a moral framework that is helpful for their flourishing. It's helpful for their lives. I make this joke every now and again. People will talk about how innocent children are, and I just beg to differ. My kids commit acts as children that if they did commit those acts as adults would be felonies. Okay, so if my son hits his sister, that's called assault in the adult world. If he does it with a baseball bat, which he has done, it's called aggravated assault, okay? So seriously, you're creating a moral framework for small kids to help them understand there are limits in the world. There's antisocial behavior in the world. And most of all, there are violations of God's law that will hurt me and harm me over the course of my life. And that leads into the third reason. It helps to protect children from behaviors, habits, and patterns that will harm them and prove destructive for them. So just as an example, this is I, not the Lord, but Jenna and I decided early in our parenting that our kids will not be allowed to throw temper tantrums. They all threw one, and that was that. Because we determined that the act of throwing yourself on the floor in response to something you don't like and flailing with out-of-control emotions is going to be harmful for our kids. If you go through life with ballistic emotions whenever something doesn't go your way, that's going to erode your soul. That's going to hurt your inner person. That's going to create pathways and habits that are extremely harmful for you. So that was an instance where we were very sort of on top of the discipline. There are other things that we can sort of afford to be a little more inconsistent on, but we assess that to be a particularly harmful behavior for our kids. And that's what you want to be thinking about as a parent. What behaviors and habits do we want to try to root out in these younger years? Behaviors and habits that ultimately will be harmful for our children down the road. Number four. Why spanking is good for children. It creates a very safe and secure environment in which to instruct children about sin, the gospel, and life lessons. So don't think of spanking, the kind of spanking I'm commending, as this out-of-control, wild, episodic thing. Cammy, a few days ago, she lied to me, said she ate her dinner when she had actually thrown her chicken nuggets in the trash. And the poor thing wasn't smart enough to kind of at least tuck them under a paper towel so that I couldn't find it or something like that. There's something there, right there on display on the top of the trash. And so I brought it to the trash can, and I said, Cammy, are these your chicken nuggets? And she lied about five or six times, and then I said, Cammy, God sees and God knows. Did you throw these out? And of course, the terror of the Lord was upon her, and she confessed. And I said, okay, well, you lied to Daddy, so what does Daddy have to do? This bank, you know. I said, okay, so I took her to a room, I pulled up her little shorts and spanked her on the thigh, and then we talked about right and wrong, and we talked about the gospel, and we prayed together, and 2 minutes later, or 20 seconds later, she's bouncing off the walls having a good time. That's a really safe and secure environment to talk about discipline and the gospel and life lessons. That's the kind of nurture I have in mind when I talk about discipline and nurture. Number five, spanking is good for kids because it's light and temporary. Quick consequences, quick result to present some minimal disturbance to a child's life. Again, it's just never been this terrible, horrible episode and event in our kids' lives. It's a quick and temporary, momentary kind of thing for our children. The pain lasts all about 6 seconds if you're doing it right. It's why I think little kids have chunky thighs and chunky rear ends, you know. You don't need to put bruises on your kids or anything like that. It's light and momentary. And last point, usually when done well with care and consistency, spanking is extraordinarily effective and helps children to flourish. All right, a last reason to spank, why it's good and right, spanking is good for parents. Spanking is good for parents. First of all, because you would be obeying God by spanking your kids, which is always good for you. Number two, because it gives you a clear path for the instruction and discipline of your children. It creates an environment of moral clarity in the family. You don't have to fight with your spouse about which punishment she'll give your kids. You don't have to read blogs and Instagram posts about the latest therapeutic approaches to discipline. You don't have to wonder about consequences for misbehavior. It is clear and simple. Discipline becomes significantly uncomplicated or decomplicated when you embrace spanking. So literally in the home I grew up in, we had an if-then chart. If you hit or bite or kick your brother or sister, there were a certain number of spankings you got. You know, one whack or two whacks or three whacks, something like that. And it went down the list, a very kind of conceivable offense a child could commit. There was about 10 of them, okay? They didn't correspond to the 10 commandments, but it was pretty clear. And it created simple, clear, moral boundaries in our home. The number of confrontations you had to have with mom and dad and with one another, that was just massively eliminated. By accepting this biblical practice. Number three, and this is a connected idea of why spanking is good for parents, it massively limits the number of conflicts you have to have with your children and gives you more joy in your parenting. So you don't have to, every time the child misbehaves, wonder, now what are we going to do? What's the right practice? Well, we have these six or seven options that the psychiatrist has recommended, and which one are going to apply here or something. Again, spanking just simplifies things in a wonderful way. And then number four, it makes your life easier. So in my experience, which I'll just say is very significant experience over 30 some years, I've been observing parents do this well. Typically spanking is unusually effective at rooting out malbehavior in children, and that removes one great obstacle to the warmth of familial relationship in the home. So by limiting the conflicts and limiting the temper tantrums and limiting the fights that parents have over discipline, you create more joy in the home, you enjoy your kids more, they enjoy you more, there's less conflict, there's less tension. So I commend it to you for that reason as well. All right, finally, and much more briefly, four reasons why parents don't spank. Four reasons I think why parents don't spank. First of all, bad experience. They themselves have experienced abuse, or have been in close proximity to abuse. Or maybe they've only seen spanking carried out in a sloppy or inconsistent way, or they've only seen it done out of anger. They simply don't have a category for spanking that isn't abusive or angry or corrosive to relationships, and so they think, I'll just stick with timeouts. Thank you very much. If that's your experience, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. That's not as it should be. That's not something the Bible commends, and I want to be as clear as I can possibly be. I am not encouraging you to do that. You should never injure a child. You shouldn't bruise a child or break his bones. You shouldn't, out of anger, strike a child. But like with many things in life that can become the locus for abuse, we shouldn't allow the abuse to crowd out the proper use. So for example, because there are abusive husbands in the world, doesn't mean that marriage itself is a defunct institution. We wouldn't conclude, well, marriage must be broken. No, the abusive husband is broken. Similarly, just because there are abusive pastors in the world doesn't mean we get rid of the office of elder, altogether. Just because some people abuse pain meds doesn't mean there isn't a healthy way to prescribe pain medication. It's the same exact thing with spanking. Just because it's been abused doesn't mean there isn't a godly and judicious use of spanking. So what should you do if you've only ever had bad experiences with spanking? First, allow God's word to instruct your practice. Just let the word of God sort of cleanse the palate in terms of your own experience. Second, talk to your pastors about it and ask for advice and guidance. Thirdly, find good models in the life of the church to help you reimagine discipline and nurture in the home. Consider even doing a tutorial. I remember it was a little disturbing as a kid. My mom was kind of tasked to help other younger moms who were thinking of doing this. I guess my mother was an exemplary spanker of her children. And so literally the pastor would say, hey, talk to Pam DePrima. And literally, she would do tutorials. So you'd have a young mom, I've never been spanked in my life, I have no idea how to do this. She said, well, stick out your arm. Let me show you how it's done. And she would, you know, demonstrate that this is kind of what we're talking about. You notice it's just a quick little, you know, thing. And then the mom would spend the day over at our house, and my mom would just kind of help her, disciple her, and observe, you know, behaviors going on. You know, is that something you spank for, or you let that go, or, you know, those kind of conversations, judgment calls you have to talk about. Find an older mentor in the church, a godly husband, father, a godly husband, wife. There's many of them in our church who do this. But let me make sure I say this. I want to be 100% clear, though I commend spanking because it's in the Bible. I urge you never spank out of anger. Never allow spanking to become severe or abusive. Never injure a child. There's no reason why spanking must become that. Second reason I think people don't spank is because they have no experience. So there's bad experience, then no experience. And I have a lot of sympathy at this point. And this is increasingly a problem for people of my generation. We were kind of the transitional generation. I was spanked. Lots of people my age were spanked, but lots of people weren't. So literally, we were like the first generation in human history not to be spanked. Okay, like literally the first generation in human history not to be spanked routinely in our childhood, though I was and some like me were. What should you do if you have no experience? The same things if you had bad experience. Allow God's word to instruct your practice. Talk to your pastors about it and ask for advice and guidance. Find good models in the life of the church to help you reimagine discipline and nurture in the home. Find some godly sisters, some godly brothers to help you in this arena. Third reason why people don't spank, cultural pressure. Cultural pressure. People will make you feel like spanking is antiquated, regressive, passé, and harmful. So let me just help you bite back for a second. First, just remember people have been spanking their kids for all of human history. It's a very common, standard, transcultural, trans-century practice that basically everyone has been doing throughout human history. It has been the ordinary means of discipline for thousands of years, even in the enlightened West over the last few hundred years. It has really been only in postmodern America, especially, or the postmodern West, that we've abandoned the practice. Spanking is legal in all 50 states. I'm not asking you to commit a crime. The Lord is not asking you to commit a crime. There are plenty of child experts out there who are willing to advocate for spanking. You can find them online. Most of the people in this room were spanked as kids, and I think we're doing just fine. And most of the parents in this church spanked their kids. So most of the people that you most admire in this church, they're spanking their kids. So all of our officers who have children or have had children spank their kids, all 10 of them. And all of our Sunday school teachers, they've all spanked their kids as well, those who have kids. Okay, so this is standard fare in our church. Find the officers or find some of those Sunday school teachers and ask them, how have you tried to do this well? And I think they can help you with it. Furthermore, I just want to say modern therapeutic approaches to discipline do not have a good track record. It is amazing to me how much confidence Christians are willing to deposit in godless modern therapeutic approaches to parenting that are often as much about, big word here, iconoclasm, as they are about the flourishing of your children. Iconoclasm is like destroying the traditions and beliefs of the past. Okay, that's the idea there. And often I find these modern therapeutic approaches to discipline are often kind of petulant adults working out their rebellion in adulthood. I didn't like my parents and what they did, and this is me kind of reacting to that. But here's something far more important to say. Apart from the legality of spanking or the opinion of child psychologists, brother, sister, you're a Christian. You march to the beat of a different drum. If you're not comfortable doing countercultural things, you're following the wrong religion. The whole Christian faith is countercultural. We do and say and teach all kinds of things that the cultural view is regressive or bigoted or antisocial, but we don't take our cues from the culture. All of us need to hear this, but especially younger parents. My wife and I feel this pressure, okay? Don't let the culture dictate how you parent your kids. Follow the Lord, do what he says, live according to his will. And if you follow your kids according to what the culture would tell you to do, don't be surprised if your children end up just like the culture wants them to end up. If you follow the Lord's standards and his prescriptions, they will tend toward the flourishing of your kids. Fourth and final point, fourth reason why I think parents don't spank, and this is the most important, probably the most spiritually meaningful thing I could say this morning. I think a lot of times people don't spank because they have a fundamental misunderstanding concerning the nature of God, our Heavenly Father. God as our perfect Heavenly Father brings pain into our lives to chasten us, to sanctify us, and to help us. And some people have no category for this. Okay, that God would bring in from his perspective, the mild administration of pain, to sanctify us and to help us. God's bringing of pain into our lives is a function of his love. If you don't understand how God uses discipline in our lives as his children, you'll never understand how discipline will help your children. So I'll read this text in closing and ask you to reflect on it. You who are thinking through discipline for your kids, listen to Hebrews 12, 7 through 11. It is for discipline that you have to endure. This is the writer of Hebrews speaking of God's relationship to us. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. That's a good verse to give to your five-year-old after you've disciplined him. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Amen. I've dropped a bomb here with spanking. We can talk more about it in the Q&A. Let me pray for us. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you give us wisdom in these things. We pray that we would love your word more than our own feelings and intuitions. We pray that we would live according to it. You would make us wise in these things. Help us as the community of faith to help one another, to think rightly about this, this whole matter of discipline and nurture. And may we be faithful to your word and fruitful in our exercise of these things. We pray together in Jesus' name. Amen.